We're back in the studio with DNR's UP Wildlife Supervisor, Terry Minzy, and thank you for hanging around, giving us some more time today.
It's a good day to be in the bush, so I'm in the studio.
Well, we'll get you out of here as soon as we can to get you back out bird hunting. And I appreciate you kind of giving us a little talk about that and what you're seeing this year and your overall take. I'm pretty encouraged with things, and I guess I'd like to finish that conversation really quick with you. I want to ask you if you are still a believer in the grouse cycle that we talk about, because I got some biologists that think it's not really applicable anymore and others that are completely on board with it.
I guess I'm ambivalent on it. I'm really not 100% convinced. There are those that completely poo-poo it, and we never could isolate what was causing that cycle. But I think we have enough outside factors now impacting us that if there is a cycle, it's probably modulated some and mitigated, whether it's climate change, whether it's West Nile virus, or all these other things that are going on to impact that population. I don't think it's as identifiable as it once was.
Okay. That's interesting. And I kind of am in your court on that one. I'm sort of the jury's still out, so to speak. And if there is a cycle, it seems like it might be different.
Yeah, and the other issue that we're dealing with is, as you know, we don't monitor the drumming routes anymore because we had a hunter that wanted to get a Freedom of Information Act on our data and then use that to go hunting. And that was seen as an ethical issue, and so we stopped collecting that data. We would like to be out there collecting data again, but we need to find a way that we can do it and protect that information so that we get good scientific data without people jumping in and saying, okay, he heard 13 drumming grouse in that spot, so I'm going to hunt that spot.
Right, yeah.
That skews the data, and it's also kind of an unethical practice.
All right, Terry, well, I'd like to get into the ugly talk about CWD testing this year. And, you know, I'm getting great reports from deer hunters this year. Really good reports, like, with the exception of certain pockets, like over by Grand Marais and Newberry. It seems like it's pretty dismal over there. However, that being said, lots of age class distribution, lots of great antler development. We have this bumper crop of acorns. Incredible amount of encouragement and excitement this year from deer hunters that I haven't seen in a long time. So I'm curious if we can impact the decision making of some of our deer hunters to get their deer tested. And you don't have to go to a DNR office during business hours anymore. Maybe you can talk about the drop boxes and that procedure to help kind of educate folks on how easy it really is.
Yeah, so we have, as you said, some drop boxes stationed around. There's one here in Marquette. There's one down in Gwynn. And then we've got them around the core CWD area. We provide a saw there so they can cut off their antlers. We have tags there. They can fill out the tags, tell us where they shot the deer. And we're not curious about where their camp is and where their secret spot is. But we need to know so that if the deer were to come back as a CWD positive animal, then we can respond to that and start dealing with it. So give us your name and your information on that tag, throw it in the drop box, and we'll get that animal checked, and then it'll show up on the computer as to whether or not it came back positive or not detected.
Well, that's exactly what we need to figure out to get a handle on this right now. And let's talk about somebody that gets a trophy buck. And they're like, man, I'm not getting my deer head sent in, and I'm not getting, you know, the cape cut. What can folks do if they have a big buck that they're going to get mounted? Take it to a taxidermist.
Take it to the taxidermist first. They don't have to get it tested that day. You know, take it in, have the taxidermist skin it out. The taxidermist is going to cut the antlers off. You can bring those in. We can measure those. Bring the head in. We'll take the skinned out head. We don't need the hide on that thing. And this isn't like it is in lower Michigan where you're required to present that animal to us before you move out of the CWD core area. So just take it to the taxidermist first, have him skin it out for you, then bring it to us, then we'll harvest the lymph nodes. Up here in the UP, we've been really, really fortunate. Last year, we got our folks trained how to take out the lymph nodes. So our testing takes a little bit less time than it does in lower Michigan, because instead of sending the head down and then having to have somebody else go through and harvest those lymph nodes, we just drop the lymph nodes into airmail and mail them down. So we do that like twice a week where we get a batch of lymph nodes, airmail them down, and they're ready to be processed right there. They don't have to go through the whole decontamination of the heads and set out to dry and thaw it out and all that stuff.
Oh, that's pretty slick, actually, and it probably speeds the process up significantly.
for the Upers, it does. You know, a lot of people get locked into this idea that things happen better for people in Lower Michigan. In this case, things are happening better for the Upers.
Oh, that's great news. And Terry, thank you so much for coming in, and I appreciate you sharing all this with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Adam. I'm always happy to be here and work with you. And the positive reports that we hear from your listeners just makes us know that we've got a wildlife community here on your radio station.
I appreciate that. Thank you. UP Wildlife Supervisor for the DNR, Terry Minzi, visiting with us again today on The Outdoor Show.